the Word, and through it, then we'll move on to some other things. The thing that God has been speaking to me about especially is the ability. We talk a lot about spiritual warfare. We talk a lot about how that we need to do warfare. I think a lot of people don't realize that most of the warfare that we are dealing with is really in our minds more so than it is in our spirit. And let me say, let me back up a little bit here. What I mean to say is that number one is that God is not at war with the devil. Let's start there. How's that? God is not at war with the devil. So the spiritual warfare that we deal with many times is not in our spirit. Now, your spirit may check you so that you can discern in your mind what is going on. But your spirit always knows. But you don't always know. I don't always know. Why is that, Pastor? Well, because the problem is that we think that we understand what God says simply because we have knowledge. You can have knowledge, but not really know. That is that you can have knowledge about something. How many has ever read knowledge concerning, how many has ever read something about airplanes? Amen? How many knows the basic understanding about how airplanes fly? How many has that knowledge? Raise your hand. Say, you know, speed versus what? What is it? So speed, thrust, takes the airplane, lifts it up, right? But how many of you have flown an airplane? Right? Not flown in, okay? In and flying is two different things. Amen? Just because you're in a car, I know some of you think you are always the driver, whether you're sitting to the right or to the left. That's not what I'm talking about, okay? Being in the plane doesn't mean you are flying the plane. Just because you have knowledge doesn't mean that you know. See? Just because you have knowledge doesn't mean you know. Just because you don't know until the Holy Spirit that lives within you. Now let's just go down the line here and let's just kind of lay a foundation and then we'll go into what I want to teach them. There's no way I'm going to get it all tonight, so it doesn't make any difference. So I'm going to get you some truth so you can take it and you can apply it. But we realize that most of the spiritual warfare that is going on, when we talk about the heavenlies, we're not talking about here because the Spirit of Christ dwells within me. There's not a warfare. Come on, everybody. There's not a warfare in your spirit. That means that every day God wakes up and goes, "Oh, Lord, I've got to deal with the devil again." That's not how it works, y'all. You know, the devil doesn't wake up and, you know, have to pop a couple aspirin because he knows he's going to have to deal with, you know, him. Right? That's not how it works. He's already defeated him. First of all, he threw him out of heaven, okay, and prepared his own special honeymoon suite called hell, okay, for him and his cohorts, a third of the angels that were cast out of heaven. So hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. So when God cast him out, he cast him out of heaven, and he sealed it by coming in flesh through Jesus Christ through the womb of Mary. And by coming in flesh to the womb of Mary, he came and became incarnate in flesh, became Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. And through his flesh, everybody say through his flesh, he crushed the law. How? Because he lived a sinless life. See? Sin is what confuses, what dulls your spirit. Sin is what dulls your spirit. That's why that some people, in the sense of thinking one thing, trying to make a decision, trying to be spirit-led. We hear that all the time, right? Being spirit-led. But many times we don't realize there's such a close association between the soul and the spirit. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. That there's such a close association between the soul and the spirit, we don't even realize that many times it's our emotions that are leading because we didn't want to wait. See? So our emotions got involved, and we convinced ourselves, well, this is close enough. Amen? When it all fits, it's all good. It's not for the bad, it's for the good. But just because it's good doesn't mean it's God. There's a lot of things I've done that was good, but that wasn't God. I had a lot of good ideals, but they weren't God ideals. There's a difference between the two. And so that's what we're talking about. We're talking about is that what God is trying to do, He's trying to restore us back to the original image that He had. That's why that Adam didn't have to, in that context, he had a direct line with God. And the Spirit's always direct. The Spirit's never in the sense of doing it. It's always inward. When you hear from God, it's always inward. When you hear from your soul, it's always from the outside. When you're hearing from the Spirit, it's always inside you. Okay? Have I lost you yet? I'm trying to go real slow here. So we understand that man was marred because in Genesis, we know that the plan for man has always been that he would be created after the image of God. But our image was marred because of sin, because of disobedience. And because he ate of the tree of the knowledge of, and there it is again. So what he did is that he moved through his mental, his soulish realm instead of the spirit realm. Because God had already told him, and God is a spirit, and they worship him, must worship him in spirit and truth. And God had already told him the truth. God said that you can eat of any tree of the garden except the tree of the knowledge of. And he said, if you eat of that tree, you shall. Well, what do you mean he shall surely die? Well, yeah, physically he would die. But what would die was his communion, his fellowship, his conscience, his intuition. Everything that he was about, his spirit, that God had been communicating to him, trying to bring him to maturity at his first real test, because we understand that was his real first test that we've seen in the Word of God. We see that as the first test because that's when Lucifer came in the form of the serpent, beguiled Eve because of her innocence. Amen? And because of that, Adam partook of it because Eve turned around and said, you want a bite too? And Eve says, well, sure, honey, whatever you want. Still the problem today. Because men have to be, don't get all crosswise with me, ladies. And I saw some of you starting going, you know, taking a right turn here. That's not what I'm saying. Not what I'm saying. I'm saying the thing of it is that if men will be men and they'll be led by the Spirit of God, they can cover the house. Decisions will be a lot better. Okay? But it takes time to develop. See, we haven't done that in a church. The church has been more about women and orphans in the church than it has been godly men who are being raised to be strong men of God that are spirit-led. That's why you got men that are so confused. That's why you got the Jenners. That's why you got people who don't know the difference between the two. See? So what God wants to do is that God wants to strengthen, but man was marred at the beginning, and because of it, he lost his image of God. And because of that, he became confused. That death passed upon him, and then because of that, death passed upon all men. We realize that in Romans 3:22. Because sin has passed upon all of us, Romans 3:10, so there is none righteous, no, not one. So because of that unrighteous, you can't be righteous in your mind. You can be right in your mind, but you can't be righteous in your mind at first. You're righteous in your spirit. Well, I'm giving you a lot tonight. I hope you're ready. So what God wants to do is that God wants to develop that sense of righteousness. The more sense of righteousness, you can't be more righteous, but a sense of righteousness. You can't be any more righteous than the day that you got saved, because when you got saved, you became the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You can't earn righteousness. But what you do is you develop a greater sense of righteousness on the inside of you. And the more that you develop a greater sense of righteousness in your spirit, and we'll learn here in a minute that your spirit's made up of three parts. It's made up of your intuition, your conscience, and your fellowship or your communion. Those are the three things that your spirit's made up of. And because your spirit's made up of those three parts, those are the three parts that you have to develop. If you don't develop those three areas, if you don't develop those three areas in your life, it's difficult to know what God is saying. That's why people struggle all the time. Well, I wonder what the will of God is. So they many times determine what the will of God is because they gather a lot of facts and a lot of knowledge. And there's nothing wrong with that. If you're making a decision about what car to drive, You know, you can make a soulless decision because, you know, I don't really think God really cares deeply in his heart what color or what kind of car that you drive. Now, God can send you to the right person, give you favor to buy the right car. That's happened to me a lot. But I don't think God cares whether you drive a Mercedes or whether you drive a Pinto. Okay? I really don't. And I think if you think that God considers that, well, that's fine. I think God's got other things to contend with, whether you drive a Pinto or whether you drive a Mercedes. Amen? Because if your spirit's right, whatever you're driving, you can be in a Mercedes and be as miserable, you know, as Hitler was. Okay? But if you got peace, it doesn't matter whether you're driving a Pinto, you know, or a Ford pickup truck, or you're driving a one-eyed mule down the street. Doesn't make any difference. You got peace. Amen? And whatever you're driving, if you're in peace, God will lead you to the next place and whatever God wants you to ride. Are you listening to me? You don't have to be a king riding a Mercedes. You can be on a donkey and ride into Jerusalem and be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords if it's the will of God. So the whole point is here is this, is knowing that Jesus was sinless, so his spirit was never confused. That's why he said all the time, I do that which I see my Father do, and I do what my Father says. So I'm doing his will. So he was never confused about whether he heard the voice of God or not. You understand? But Jesus always had to deal with his disciples on different levels. And so he realized that they would never be able to have that knowing until the Holy Spirit came. Because the Holy Spirit is that agent by which that comes and causes your spirit to be born again. You don't have to be spirit-filled to develop those three areas of your life. But it's not hard to see when people are carnal. It's not hard to see when people are not spirit-led. That's not hard. I don't get condemned when I see people, when people make decisions. Well, I can't do that. I can't go there. I can't read that. I don't have time. Well, all of those things are the result simply of one thing. That is because we don't develop our spirit. See, if you developed your spirit, you'd make less mistakes. You'd make less mistakes. God would lead you where you need to be. And money wouldn't be a problem. Housing wouldn't be a problem. Cars wouldn't be a problem. Your kids wouldn't be a problem. Those things wouldn't be a problem because of our spirit. My biggest problems that I ever made was out of my emotions, not out of my spirit. Because God never leads you into destruction. Amen. Even though you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Why? Because his rod and his staff comfort me. Because I know he's there with me. Doesn't matter where you are. You can be in the midst of hell. But if you know that Jesus Christ is with you and you have a witness of his spirit there, it doesn't make any difference what you're going through. Because he'll lead you through. He'll take you through. He'll sustain you. He will enable you. But if you're left to your soulish mind, which is made up of your intellect, your will, and your emotions. I said your intellect, your will, and your emotions. And so, did I say emotions? Amen. I must have been thinking of Detroit. So anyways, intellect, emotions, and will realm. So it's simply this, is that how, and I'm kind of jumping ahead, but I'll go through this again because I'm going to have to repeat some things. Because this is in my spirit, so I'm going to let whatever's top here come out first. So you have to understand is that your mind can have knowledge, but it doesn't understand. See, that's why you read the Bible and you go, you know, you read the Bible. Come on, you're reading the Bible and you're like, looks like Hebrew to me. Right? I don't understand. How many times have you read the Bible and said, I don't understand? Well, that's because the Spirit hasn't revealed it to you yet. Number one, it could be time. But that's why you sometimes, you have known something, but haven't understood it. And all of a sudden you find yourself in a place, okay, and a light bulb comes in and you go, now I understand. Well, it's because the Spirit of God revealed it to you. So there's a difference between knowing and understanding. See, you can know but not understand. You can have knowledge but not understanding. So I know that makes some of you confused, especially you analytical and you people, man, who are super logical. Because it's difficult to be led by the Spirit, especially the more analytical, more logical are, because the Spirit don't make sense sometimes. Amen. See, Spirit don't make sense. You can't sit there and tell me it makes sense that you're going to take two fish, five loaves, and feed 20,000 people. Tell me how that makes sense. Tell me how that makes sense that Jesus says to the disciples in the boat when they are being tossed to and fro, and he looks to them, and Peter says, if it really you, then ask me to come out to you. I'll come out to you. And he walks on the water. You can't tell me that makes sense. Amen? And the people in the boat that were the most logical, you know, Matthew the tax collector says, man, that don't figure up. That definitely don't add up. See, it doesn't make sense. And the moment that that he tried to gain sense out of the situation, he fell. But it's about trusting the Spirit. It's about trusting the Spirit in that, but trusting our spirit. So that's what we're talking about. And that's what we're going to be talking about, is about how that we develop that. But we realize that the reason why our spirit's so undeveloped is because many of us have never been taught how to develop our spirit. We've had more time spent. That's why you got people who are so into themselves. It's always about their problems, their issues. Amen. Amen. I was that way for years. You know, oh Lord, why me? This ain't fair. Life sucks. Everybody hates me. Everybody's against me. Everybody's plotting things against me. Oh yeah. Yeah, there's more paranoia in the church than there ever is in the world. Only difference is the world gets, they get medicine. They get what? Oh, I wouldn't even think of that. Yeah, get meds or get even. But that's why you got so much offense in the body. See, your spirit can't be offended. See, your spirit can't be offended. Well, I got a check in my spirit. No, you don't have a check in your spirit. See? Because the spirit always bears witness. See? God don't tell you everything bad. If it's not our responsibility to find out what's bad with everybody. If all you see is a negative, 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 bad, 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 then you got a problem. You have a level of immaturity. Don't get mad. Don't get mad. We talked about it Sunday. This is not about being stupid. We know what stupid is, don't we? To him that doeth who knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is stupid. That's the definition of sin. When you know not to sin, but you sin anyways, that's the definition of stupid. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is stupid. You can say stupid. It's not a potty word. Amen? So that's what happens. And what we sometimes say, well, God's given me a check. Well, no, it's not necessarily a check, because I want you to know something. God is trying to say something else to you. God's trying to deal with you about something. See, sometimes what you're feeling, what you're sensing, is more so about you than it is somebody else. See, you literally put yourself in a place that God is trying, that God's going to use you as the checker out of all the bad that's in the church. How many thinks we should be more busy about ourselves? How many knows I got enough to deal with myself without checking out everybody else in the house? See, if you can't grow, you can't know. See, if you can't grow in your spirit, you can't know in your mind. If your spirit doesn't grow, the knowledge you have is unrenewed, because the only one that can renew that knowledge and make it God's mind is be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is. You can't prove it out until your mind, the knowledge in your mind, has been renewed by the Spirit of God. See? Because your mind has to not be the old knowledge. It has to be knowledge that has been what? Renewed. Because the old knowledge ain't going to work. So if you're still trying to, that's like having a Mercedes, okay, and using a Ford. Now, Pete will associate with this. Amen? Pete works on my bike, okay? And so Pete works on my motorcycle, and my motorcycle is a Yamaha. This is how smart Pete is. Pete says, Pastor, do you have the owner's manual? See, that right there tells me Pete's smart. Because if Pete would have said on the phone, Pastor, don't worry about it, I got a Harley Davidson manual. Why are you laughing for? Because you already know. Because you can't use another manual, a Harley Davidson manual, to be able to work on a Yamaha. But here is the owner manual that you have, the Word of God, okay? And you keep going to other things to determine what's wrong with you. You go to people, you look on television, and Dr. Phil, you know, has it all lined out. That's exactly how I feel. I cannot believe that. That's so uncanny. I just got done saying that. That's exactly what my mother did to me. Well, guess what? Phil never heals anybody. I like Dr. Phil, and he manages some good stuff, and he has some good knowledge. But I'm going to tell you, psychology is like keeping greased pigs in a pen. Because psychology will never, about the time you think you've got an answer, that pig will slip through your hands and go the other direction. The only way you're going to get deliverance is by the Spirit of God. And we spend more time listening to our mind, than we do. Well, I know. Really? Then why aren't you manifesting the Spirit of God? Because if you were manifesting the Spirit of God, you'd manifest truth. You'd manifest love. You'd manifest peace. Because no matter what's going on, even in the battle, even if you're being warred against, let's say it's all true. Let's say it's all true and all those things are happening to you. Then you should be a testimony of the Spirit of God on the inside of you that is declaring truth to that situation. Because nothing's going to deal with that situation. Because he said, your warfare is not with what? Flesh and blood. But with principalities and powers. Amen. In high places, not low, not here. Your spirit is the innermost part of you. And if the things that you're feeling and sensing is coming from outside of you, and you're getting confirmation from here, that's your soul realm. That's not your spirit realm. See, your spirit doesn't need any help. God doesn't need anything to confirm who he is. God will speak directly. The more mature you get, God will directly speak through you. See? Now, you can seek out his will. That's another form of doing it. And when we're younger in the faith, we're seeking out the will of God. Amen? Amen. Y'all feel quiet. Look what it says here. He said in Ephesians 2 and 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he, what? Loved us, even when we were dead in sins. Now look what happened here. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. So he quickened us together where? Well, the Bible says where Christ is. Where Christ is, his position is where? Beside the Father. It's in heavenly places. So his position is a high place. So if you keep going to low places, if you keep going to your lower nature, if you keep going to your carnal mind, if you keep going to that old man, then no wonder you're not resolving anything in your life. To resolve it in our life, we need to hear what the Spirit of God says. Amen. And until you mature, you need mature people that are in the Spirit that can help you arrive at those answers in your life. That's why you got pastors. That's why you got a Spirit-filled church. That's why you got a church like this. That's why we teach the way we do. That's why we believe the way we do. Amen. How many say, Pastor, I want to be mature in the Spirit. I want to be mature in the Spirit. This is our position in Christ, but there's still two other positions that we're going to be talking about later. But we're going to be talking about that in 1 Thessalonians 5, 2 and 3. You can turn there with me. We'll use that as the foundation scripture. So we all understand that the nature, our image of God has been marred because sin will mar the image of God in you. How many knows any time that you've sinned, how it mars your image of God? Amen. See, I'll tell you, you get to the place to where that you won't run from God. If you make a mistake and you sin. See, and even mature believers make mistakes because nobody's perfect. Only God's perfect. And to think that we're going to live in the Spirit 24 hours a day, that just ain't going to happen. See, we ain't going to live in the Spirit 24 hours a day. I know some people think they do, but you don't. See? That's why the Bible put a little, you know, thingamabob in the contract. Said, I would not let you sin, but if... Hello. God through the Holy Spirit put that. Why? Because He knows us. See, He knows us. He knows that there's going to be times that we're going to say, how many knows there's going to be times that you're going to sin? Raise your hand. How many knows it? Amen. How many knows that? How many likes to sin? Raise your hand. Oop. Just trying to find out. See who I'm preaching to tonight. How many knows what I'm talking about? See, and because of that, He put that there. So nobody lives in the Spirit 24 hours a day. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen that we live in 24 hours in the Spirit. Why? Because it's impossible. And you know it's impossible, especially if you're living with a husband and wife and you got kids and people in the house. Now, if you're some kind of monk living up, you know, in the mountains of North Carolina, you know, and you're living in a cave, hello. You know what I'm saying? I don't understand it. But, you know, maybe, but I still don't see it. But I mean, that's what they believe. See, they believe and got to that place of thinking that if I cloister myself, if I'm alone and people aren't there, that's why you got that one island out there in the Greek islands to where all those priests live, okay? And they live out there. Women can't even go there. That's right. You can't even get on the island. You try to get off the boat and get on. No, you got to turn around. We don't want to sin. Hello? Oh, I'm serious. Don't allow no women on that island. I know some of you men want to just raise your hand and say, where's that island at, Pastor? I want to. Well, you're stuck on the island you got. You better deal with what you have. That's what you got to learn how to do. But that's why you're going away this weekend. Amen. But here they think that is what's going on. But I want you to understand is that you can't have, as long as you have people in your life, as long as you have a church. See, I know it don't make no sense because as long as you have a church, you're going to have conflict. As long as you have a church, you're going to have people and personalities. And the bigger you get, the more you have. I mean, we learned that. See, we're not coming into this whole thing with novice. We know what it is to be a part of a church with thousands of people. We know what it is to be a part of that. The bishop that's over me, I'm not walking through minefields I don't know anything about. I have a bishop who is keeping me from those minefields. So he's helping me through those places so that we can grow and not make some of the same mistakes that others have made. But at the same time, I want you to know that if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father. And because of that, you can get forgiveness. And what hopefully you will have done, you will have learned from it and your spirit will mature. Because if you are looking, the Spirit will tell you that's where you made the mistake. And you don't have to walk in that again. Isn't that wonderful? Look at here in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 23. And the very God of peace, if you're there, say amen. Did I say 2 and 3? I meant 23. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 23. And the very God of peace, I had my glasses on so I couldn't see. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God that your what? Holy Spirit. Okay, and it says comma there, but you might as well put there again, not only your whole spirit, but your whole soul. Not only your whole soul, but your whole body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there's a wholeness to your spirit, there's a wholeness to your body, and there's a wholeness to your soul. That means that there is parts that make up a whole. That in a gallon of milk, you have how many parts that make up. Now, Pastor Karen knows all that stuff of bringing down to quarts and pints and, you know, all that stuff. But what makes up that whole? You have a gallon of milk, but what makes up that milk is those other wholes. And to make up a gallon, it takes so many quarts, so many pints to make up that whole gallon of that whole milk. In fact, they call it whole milk because it has more cream, more milk fat in it. And if you've ever tasted real milk with cream, you know the difference between that and that watered-down mess that they call, you know, milk. 1% and that other stuff. Ain't milk. It ain't milk. Amen. It's not milk. How many knows what I'm talking about? So he says here that his desire is to what? Look what he says. That God, your whole spirit, your whole soul, your whole body be preserved, blameless, unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what's he doing, Pastor? Well, what he's doing, he's trying to develop the whole man in you, not just a part of you. But if you don't develop your spirit, it's going to be more difficult trying to develop your mind and your body. But we got people who've got it all reversed. They're trying to develop their body, trying to develop their mind, to develop their spirit. But you're going the long way around the mountain. If we spend more time developing our spirit, why? Because our spirit knows. Turn to somebody and tell them, my spirit knows. But I don't. And that's what the problem is. My mind has understanding. My mind has knowledge. But my mind doesn't know. And once you know, then you have clarity. Then you have agreement where any two touching any one thing, you get your spirit and your soul in agreement, your body will go exactly where those two tell it to go. Because what your spirit does, your spirit has a revelation. You develop that part of it. So let's look at it real quick here. Don't worry. I still got like 56 minutes. So here, let's look at the spirit man, okay? This is how we walk in the spirit. The Bible says, walk by faith and not by sight. If you walk in the spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So if you walk in the spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But how do you walk in the spirit? Well, you walk in the spirit in these three dimensions, these three functions of the spirit. If you write that down, I gave it to you early, but here are the three functions of the spirit: the intuition, the conscience, and fellowship or communion. Those are the three areas of your spirit, man. Those are the three areas that you've got to develop. See, the spirit's always straightforward, does not need outside confirmation. Doesn't need outside confirmation. We see the type and the shadow in the tabernacle of Moses in the holies of holies, in the Ark of the Covenant. And inside the Ark of the Covenant was two things. Anybody know what that was? There was two things in the Ark of the Covenant. Shout it out. Aaron's rod that budded, and what else? The tablets or the Ten Commandments that was in there. So that was the law of God. Well, what is the law of God? It's the revealed will of God. That's what the law of God is. So the type and the shadow there was the physical law, which represented the revealed will of God. God needed to do what with the children of Israel? He wanted to reveal his will. So he wrote it down in the Ten Commandments. He tried to. He wanted to meet with them. Don't you remember the first meeting they had? They said, hey, no way, Hosea. When they came to Mount Sinai and God wanted to meet with them, and he says, don't you touch this mount. And they circled it off. Don't touch it. If one of your animals touch it, they're going to die. Don't touch it. In fact, there was a time when if you remember in your Bible reading, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd Samuel, if you read that today, you saw where when the Ark of the Covenant came back. Remember that story? How many read it this morning? So if you read that story, you read in there how they brought the Ark of the Covenant back. And I can't remember what the city was. Doesn't make it. It was Elkhorn or something like that. May have been Rolling Rock. I don't know. So here they brought the Ark of the Covenant back. And there was men in that city who became curious. See? And what they did, it says, you know, it ain't going to hurt. We're going to take a peeky peek. Well, they took a peeky peek and 70 people died. Amen. How many things nobody else tried to look inside that Ark of the Covenant? Amen. I bet you they built barricades around that puppy and said, stay away from this. This is something like we have never experienced before. You say, Pastor, why? That's cruel of God. No, it isn't, because I'll tell you why. Because if God lets anybody that has curiosity handle it, do you think those people are going to be able to handle the Spirit of God? No, they're not. They're going to mishandle it. See, God wants to teach you how to be led by His Spirit and work in His Spirit and walk in His Spirit. Because if we can do that, then we're going to be led by His Spirit instead of our ugly flesh. Because it don't take a great discerner to know when somebody is walking the flesh. Amen. Just get a mirror. If you got a mirror tonight, take it out of your pocket, look at your face. Oh, yeah, guess I know where I'm at tonight. Your flesh will reveal it. Your flesh will reveal it, whether that you're walking in the Spirit. Because if you're walking in the Spirit, when you hear Spirit teaching, you hear the Word of God going forth. Because what is it? That's the revealed Word of God. But see, we are not, our mind's not disciplined enough.
hasn't been disciplined enough because of what we've had, because we've had baby food for so long that when we hear strong meat, it's difficult sometimes to get it all in. Amen. And for us to comprehend it fast enough, because in the carnal mind, the mind slows down. And the reason why it slows down, and let me show you the other side. The reason why our minds slow down is because we're filled with so much information. We're just bombarded by so much other information from our job today. Many of you dealing with problems with your children, dealing with bills. Come on now. Dealing with sickness, dealing with issues, dealing with questions in your life, and all those things in your mind, and you come Wednesday night, and, you know, praise and worship heaven, and then, you know, hear a pastor trying to preach a message about the Spirit of God, and you're like, oh, geez. I mean, your mind shuts down. I ain't going to stop. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to stop because I'm going to go past that place, because I want you to begin to do that, that you're hungry enough to reach out, search out, to seek out what God is saying. Because you've got to develop those three parts in you. So the Holy of the Holies had those two parts, and the Ark of the Covenant, amen, the Ark of the Covenant, and in that Ark, the Ten Commandments was there. This was his revealed will. And the Ark of the Covenant was also called the testimony, or the Ark of Testimony. It testified of something. So here we see how that the first thing, that's why our intuition, that's why you've got to have the Word of God. The Word of God is his revealed word. You can't be led by the Spirit if you don't read the Bible. I watch TBN. Well, I stayed at a Holiday Inn, but that doesn't make me a PhD either. Come on. Well, I've been in church all my life. Well, amen. Just because I have a houseboat in the water doesn't make me, you know, a dolphin. I mean, seriously, folks. See, that's the problem. We've been in church. We went to churches. We've had religion, we've heard messages, but what we've got to have, we've got to be awakened and say, God, I need to walk in the Spirit. Look, if you don't walk in the Spirit, you can't walk out of your flesh. If you don't learn to walk in your intuition, if you don't learn to be able to hear the voice of God, if you don't have no fellowship with Him, if in your fellowship that you get to know Him, you become intimate with Him. So that in any situation, it's not necessarily a pastor you need, because God's already talked to you. That there you stand in the midst of hell and there is nobody around you. And you look, and what do you see? You see the fourth man in the fire, and he looks like the Son of God walking around. Why? Because of who you are and what you know in the Spirit. That if you're cast in there, whether it's a lion's den, or whether you're sitting before King Agrippa, it doesn't make any difference, because your spirit knows Jesus was able to go through what he went through. Why? Because he knew in his spirit. And he knew that this was only temporary, what his body was going to have to endure, because his spirit was way stronger than what his mind was and what his body was. He knew that body would be resurrected in a matter of hours, and it would be transformed from everything was on him, and that he would be soon again beside his Father. He knew that in his spirit, not here. He knew that. He had developed his intuition. That's why that when they tried to kill him, he would come into the temple and he would begin to give the revealed word. And man, they just like, what? He's calling himself God. And the Bible says they wanted to reach out and they wanted to kill him. And he perceived. See, we think that's only for Jesus. That's not only for Jesus. That's for us. If you want to avoid some problems, if you want to avoid some danger, why can't the Spirit speak to you and say, look, they're out to kill you, they're out to hurt you? That's different in the sense, if you're doing the will of God. Amen. How many hears what I'm saying? Jesus knew that. He perceived that. Amen. His conscience. Why? Because he was the living word. Why? Because he was there in the beginning with the Father. So the revealed word of God was there. That's all he ever talked about, is I'm doing the will of God in my life. Amen? Thank God.
But the third part was the mercy seat on the Ark of the Covenant, which is the place of communion and fellowship. What makes that possible? What makes that possible is the blood of Jesus Christ. Because your spirit has been made brand new. You have the ability to commune with the Father. Why? Because your spirit's been made new by the blood of Jesus Christ. You have everything that it takes. Amen? But we think knowledge alone is going to bring us into being led. No, ma'am. No, sir. What it's going to take is us letting the Spirit, spending time. You can't do it. Two, let me tell you something. If you're taking notes, here is two of the biggest revelations you will ever hear in your life. Are you ready? Read the Bible and pray. And if you can't do that, if you're not doing, you're not going to know who God is. You have to read His Bible and you have to pray to know who He is. His written word to reveal it to you, but then spending time in the Spirit so God can reveal it to your spirit, that your intuition can grow to where that what you're hearing, it's lining up with the Word of God. But many of us don't know that it lines up with the Word of God, because if people don't know the Word and we hear a voice, okay? If I hear a voice, it tells me, Debbie Davis is after you. She wants to kill you. Where'd that come from? Well, it could have come from the throne of God, Pastor. Well, it could if I didn't know who Debbie was. But I have to stop and I have to confirm and I have to try. That's why John said that we have to stop and we have to try all spirits. Why? Because I know it's hard for some to believe, but your mind will lie to you and it'll deceive you. Because you have knowledge stored up there that is not the Word of God. You got knowledge stuck up there of wounds and traumas and disappointments and rejections. And your mind has been set and it's been developed and it thinks a certain way. You don't think you do, but we do. Amen? How many knows there's things in our life, the way that we think, we'd be embarrassed to tell people. Amen. I mean, what if I had, you know, this oil here? You know, I just, everyone that I touched, it would reveal what's in your mind up on those screens. Amen. Why, Pastor? Well, because every thought. That's why every bird that flies over my head, I don't allow it to build a nest. Thoughts are the same way. Just because a thought passes through your mind, was that God? I doubt it. Because it's coming from the outside. And I want you to understand, look with me in James. How many's getting anything out of this? I know it's strong meat. But you can take this. You can eat this. Is James in the New Testament? Isn't it around Hebrews someplace? Is it? Oh, here it is. It's on page 1052 in your Bibles. It said, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. He's not talking necessarily about, you know, lusting after a man or lusting after a woman. He's talking about the inability of the flesh to control itself. And I want something so bad, I'm lusting. See, you don't only have to lust after somebody sexually. You can lust after something, okay? To where that it controls your ability to think. Okay? It said, you ask and receive not. Well, look here what happens. See, we wonder, why is it that some of our prayers are not being answered? He said, because you ask and you receive not, because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your own lust. So what's going on? Well, what's going on is that you can't separate the stuff that's going on in your mind See? You can't separate that stuff going on in your mind. So what happens is this, is that you pray, it doesn't happen, and you wonder why, because, well, the reason why is because you weren't asking according to the will, you were asking according to your own flesh, your own unrenewed mind. Amen? But you have to walk out that discipline. You got to walk out those three areas of intuition, conscience, and communion with God. Those three have to be developed all the time. Wow, that's why the Bible calls us disciples of Christ. That's why that you don't do this randomly. Some of us give more attention to cleaning our house than allowing God to clean our house. We spend more time developing fleshly things and things in our life than developing the thing that's going to last eternity. That's the whole point the pastor gave with that rope. You know, the red part. And we focus on that little red part, but here's eternity. What we need to be focusing on is the eternal things on the inside of us. See, if we put the kingdom of God first, if we put the Spirit first, then what will happen is that that will overtake our mind and our body. And then your body will follow suit. That's why every day I got to get up and I got to speak to my foot. I got to make a declaration of it every day. Every time I step up, I declare you are healed. You are whole. You are not going to be half. You're going to be whole. I have to speak that all the time. I speak that to my foot. No, I speak to it. You are healed. Are you listening to me? That's why you wonder, why is my money not going places? Because you don't designate it. You don't declare over it. You don't make a decree over it. You just take it and just throw it out there. When you tithe, that's why you tithe. You tithe because you designate where that money goes. When you give offerings, you've got to designate that money. You've got to tell that money where to go. You don't mind telling, you know, the guy that cuts you off on the highway where to go. You got to develop your spirit and tell the things in your life where to go. And if some of those things need to go to hell, you need to tell them to go to hell from whence they came. And some of the things that torment you, you need to tell them either to go to hell or go to heaven. You need to declare. You need to know where your help comes from. And if you're being tormented all the time, that's not God tormenting you. Are you listening to me? If you're being wrestled with, your battle is not with flesh and blood. Your battle is it's in a spiritual place. But it's not your spirit, it's the spirit of your mind. See? It's the spirit of your mind. Come on, how many knows that your battle is not with your spirit because your spirit is perfect? And even though God is developing our spirit, our battle is not here. We're learning and God is covering us here. But how many knows? You can't be possessed of the devil and possessed of God in your spirit at the same time. It don't work that way. You can be oppressed. You can be demonized. But you're demonized here because he's tormenting you in your thought life. Because the only place the devil dwells is in our ignorance. That's where he dwells. That's where he battles. That's where he beats your brains out every time. He can't beat you. He cannot beat your brains out if you already know who you are in Christ. If it's already solidified in you, there's things in you that you already know. And somebody can come along and say, that's not true. And you look square in the eye. Look them square in the eye and say, you know what? Yeah, no, you're wrong. Because I already know. How many know there's things you know and there's things that you have knowledge of but you don't know yet? Sure there is. Because there's things that are waiting there for the Spirit to give you revelation on. But you all in a hurry. Well, look. This is the confidence that we should have. That the very good thing that he's began in you, he's going to bring it to completion in you, even unto the day of his appearing. God's going to work those things that are in your mind, the good word that you put in. But God can't work with it if you don't put it in. You got to put the word in. You got to put the time in prayer. You got to put the time developing those areas of your life. Allowing God to develop the conscience. Allowing God to develop your intuition. Knowing the difference between the two. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 tells us that it is the rhema of God. The rhema of God that separates soul and spirit. Amen? Are you still with me? Amen. So the conscience is the door of your spirit. Amen. The conscience is the door of your spirit. And the components, these components that make up the spirit, we have to develop all three of those. And the one here is the conscience. Why? Well, because the conscience tells you the difference between right and wrong. And if you don't develop the conscience, man, if you don't develop that part of your conscience, you won't know whether that's right or wrong. Amen? Amen? So by which we feel, this is where conviction comes in. Conviction ain't going to come in your mind. How many has ever talked yourself out of something? You know it's wrong, but you know you talked yourself out of it. Oh, come on. Don't look at me like I just got down here from Mars. Amen? I talked myself into stuff. Well, you're tired. You've had it hard. You deserve a break today. So get up and get away to your flesh. Amen? Come on, guys. Jeez. Seriously. How many knows what I'm talking about? Oh, I ain't raising my hand. No way, Jose. I don't want pastor. Really? You think I don't know? You think you're the big secret here in the church? Amen. I'm so cool. I'm so suave. I've got it all hid. I'm just like a safe. I'm just locked away. Nobody can know who I am. Well, then why am I the pastor? You think I pray so I can know what's bad? No, I pray so that God will change you, that God will send His Spirit. I pray for reinforcements. I pray for you that you will grow and that you will increase in the knowledge of Christ and the full knowledge of Christ to know His full will and the inheritance that God has for you, that the eyes of your understanding will be open and you'll know the great hope that is yours to have. You think no pastor wants his sheep to fail. No pastor wants his sheep to suffer. Amen. How many hears what I'm saying to you? But guess what? If you can't receive any other instruction, if you can't receive instruction, if you can't receive correction, then your teacher is going to be pain. Oh, my Lord. And how do I know that? Because I'm an expert. Hallelujah. You think you got a mark on stubbornness and on willfulness, on stiff-neckedness? You can't even get close. That's why I'm the pastor of this church. I'm the pastor. That's why I've said many times, I'm the chiefest among the whole bunch. God put me here because why? Because I know God is ever long-suffering, and He will wait you out. He waited me out. He walked me through every dumb decision, every idiot choice, every silly choice and dumb thing I ever did. God's love never slacked towards me. It never shortened towards me. God walked me through every mess that was in my life. And if you think for a second that God is going to give up on you, that somehow that you're going to wear, you ain't going to wear God out. God's going to wait for you. God's going to love you into this whole thing. And you need to raise your hands and thank God that God has sent you into a place that is bold enough to give you correction in your life and teaching that will change your life instead of you letting you live in ignorance. Because this is what changes us. This is what transforms us. Amen? How many hears it tonight? As I said before, sin makes the conscience dull and not sensitive to the Spirit of God. The door by which we open our spirits to the Spirit of God. So you got to understand, guys, is this. Is that if you're not led by the Spirit and you're led by your soul and you constantly are moving in that realm, in that area, then it dulls your ability. And so we want to hear the voice of God. We want to hear the will of God. But we can't hear the will of God because our conscience has been seared. And that's what happens when you sin over and over again. The conscience becomes seared. Amen? See, before, when you had that check and you had that thing, but you keep doing it over and over again, after a while, Miss Grace, the conscience just gets seared. It just gets easier. Amen? How many hears what I'm saying to you? Amen. So should I stop? How much? Am I done? I'm over? A minute. All right. Very good. Well, praise God. Pastor Karen says, I've got to stop. So you can't have any more word tonight. So I'm sorry. She's the boss, applesauce. How many say, Pastor, I want to walk in the Spirit. I don't want to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Then if we want to walk in the Spirit, we've got to develop the Spirit. What are the three areas? Somebody name me the first area that we need to develop. What's the door to our spirit? Our conscience. What is the second thing we need to develop? Our intuition. Amen? And the third thing? It's our fellowship or our communion with God. Those are the three things. Amen? God doesn't make it hard. God doesn't make it difficult. If you are in His Word and you are praying and your sincere heart is to know Him. I mean, you guys just got done reading. If you were reading the Bible pattern today, you did this past week, you just got done reading the Song of Solomon. What do you think that is? I know it gives you the sense of a man and a woman and the intimacy that's there, but it's really about the bride and the bridegroom. It's about the level of intimacy that we can have. And what it reveals there in the Song of Solomon is the level of intimacy that should not be shared with anyone else. And that intimacy, that level of knowledge that he had towards his bride and the knowledge, the intimate knowledge that she had towards him. And in it, you can see there over and over again in the Song of Solomon how that he longed for her and she longed for him. That's being led by the Spirit as to where that we long for it. I can go and go and go and be busy with all the natural things that are there. But I realize that when I get into this, that what I long for is to be in His Spirit. Amen? And how that everything is going and we can be busy for God and we can be busy doing things. But man, there's nothing that replaces the ability to have that solitude and allow God to develop your spirit. You need to have a designated place. I have a designated place. When I go sit in that chair, I know me and God are going to talk. Amen? That's what Karen will ask me when I go outside. She'll say, do you want me to be with you? Yeah, if you can sit here and be quiet, you can be with me. Amen? Oh, I'm not being hard. She knows that. If I go outside, I'm there. I'm going out there to meet God. And sometimes I literally forget what time it is. And there has been times to where I wake myself up. And now it's been 3, 4, 5 hours that I've been alone with God. When I'm there, I really don't want to come back. Amen. Once you're in His presence and you feel that peace and you feel God communing with you, He's soothing, He's ministering, He's loving. When He's talking about it, He's talking about taking His hand and putting it under the back of her neck and taking His hand and putting it under His back. That is an intimate motion to pull her close to Him. To be breath upon breath, lip upon lip, His eyes close to her, that ability to bring close. That's what you feel in the Spirit when the Holy Spirit puts His hand, when God puts His hand behind your neck and behind your back and He pulls you to Himself. No other lover can satisfy. You can't find anything that's going to make you happy. No knowledge, no job, no money, no house, no car. See, all of these other things will be less frustrating if you learn to walk in the Spirit. Doesn't mean your life will be perfect, but what it does mean, the perfect one will be there to take you through whatever you're dealing with. Amen? Amen. 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 Well, give the Lord a hand clap tonight.